Hi, my name is Marcos Leon.
And I'm Ken Schumann.
And we are here today to have a conversation about missional living. And Ken, we say in faith walking that we have two clear goals. Mm-hmm. The end of the game of faith walking is, on one side, personal transformation. And we have great stories about people dealing with their inner vows and growing in emotional maturity and dealing with anxiety and relationships being transformed. But sometimes we need to refocus, being intentional and really focusing about missional living.
Right.
So what do we mean about when we say missional living as a goal of faith walking?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a confusing question for a lot of folks. For me, missional living means to partner with God in God's ongoing mission in the world. And that sounds really big and really broad and really vague, really, to be honest with you. But what I've come to believe is that God's mission is to restore wholeness to every individual and every community and every system where it's operating according to His intended design. And for me, that's the simplest way to describe what missional is.
Yeah. And it's a process, right?
Absolutely.
So what you're saying, and then it's so good for us to remember that this is not a class on, okay, we're going to give you a project at the end of the day.
Right.
So you're going to write your project and you're going to get done with that. But it's actually a very personal journey. You know, it's a process and it's personal. And is it, you are going to know what is your mission of living in your context. Right?
I think so. So first of all, I think what I would say is that it's really important to remember that missional living is not something that you add on to an already busy, hectic life. It's not another program. It's not one more activity that you're going to add on. I believe that missional living becomes a way of life. And I believe that way of life is the way of Jesus, that Jesus's life was to restore wholeness everywhere he went, with every person he saw. And that in the doing of our lives, in the living of our lives, and it's why we say in faith walking, we live missionally in the places where we spend the majority of our day, the places where we live, where we work, and where we play. That's where we hang out. That's where we spend most of our time. And so missional living is not an add-on. It's a way of life, and it's integrated into the normalcy of my life.
Yeah.
That's, I think, really key.
Yeah. We have friends in Denver that actually are the ones who brought this idea, but it is the crossing of formation, or the way that they say it is mission comes out of formation. Right. What would you think that that is a good way to say it?
Yeah. So what I believe about that, Marcos, and I think what Faith Walking believes is that all of the work we do in 101, 201, and 202, that's primarily about personal transformation. It creates the space for us to live missionally. If we rush out and try to live missionally before we do the internal work, the formation work, then those same things that stop us in normal life now are going to stop us on mission. And so we do that work so that then we have a toolkit for actually being fully expressed in our mission when we engage mission.
Yes. And actually, it's that work that allows a space to listen, right? Because
correct.
My purpose, my mission, if you want, it doesn't have to be the same that yours. I mean,
correct.
It is joining God, right?
Right.
It is this partnership with God, but that's why it becomes a discovery. You know, I would put it, the idea of the true self that we're discovering in our inner work, right? Of personal transformation.
Right.
It is also connected with the purpose of the true self, right?
Right.
That's the mission that we talk about.
Right. I believe within every one of us, we have an innate need for meaning in life. And I believe that missional living is where we engage with God to bring meaning to our lives. And because we're serving the greater good, we're serving the cause of God. Jesus in his life said, that the only thing I do is what the Father tells me to do. And I believe that Jesus discerned what the Father was telling him to do in those moments where he pulled away and lived a reflective life. And so we talk about in our model of discipleship that a reflective life is so important. Well, it's important because that creates space again for God to be able to speak into us and say, hey, here's what I'm doing, and here's where I'm at work, and here's where I want you to engage. And those may be really big things, but they also are all really little things that make up really big things.
Yeah. It's only steps that takes you to a bigger place.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So all this is conceptual, and it's good. We have to start there, mm-hmm. right? We have an agreement. Okay, we're talking about that.
Right.
So how this happens in your life? What would you tell us?
Yeah, it's a great question. And first of all, I want to say I'm learning also. I'm trying to learn what it looks like. So mine are just experiments. But I think it starts in little ways. So where is there brokenness is a question that I ask. But also, where are there needs? And I start with exactly where I am. So I work for Faith Walking now full time as of June 1st. And I office from home. And so my neighborhood is my place, because that's where I spend the majority of my time. And I want to be a missional person here in just the normalcy of my life. And so just a story I'd share, you and I are looking out my window and we're looking at a house right over here. And I have a neighbor that lives there who is a single mom, and she has a really large lot, and she mows her yard with a self-propelled mower herself. And I can see it's a real challenge for her. And one of the ways that I think I can express the love of God for her is I mow a portion of her yard every time when I mow my yard. And I just, so I'm out mowing my grass and I mow part of her yard. And you can say, well, that's just being a nice guy. And it, sure it is. But the reason I want to be a nice guy is because I believe God wants to express God's unconditional love for Susan, my neighbor. And I'm the incarnation of God's love. And so I model that by mowing part of her yard.
Yeah, actually, it might not look like a big deal, but you ask her, probably she's going to say, my gosh, thank you. That was awesome. Why did you do that?
Right? Yeah, exactly. And I do the same for my neighbor on the other side, who's got kidney disease and is on dialysis, and who can't get out and mow his yard himself. And so I mow a portion of his yard, and I do that as a missional activity. I think the another place that missional activity goes is we met a woman who lives a couple of blocks from us, and she sits with the elderly woman who lives across the street this other way from me. And Becky and I invited her one time, asked her if she would be willing to come clean our house for us. We had a big event coming, and I decided, as you know, but many of our folks don't know, Becky's got some health issues. And so I wanted to help her, and we got Robbie, the lady across the street, to come and clean our house. We don't really have the financial resources to have our house cleaned all the time. But what we discovered was that Robbie is struggling to make enough income. She's got two sons who live with her. She's a single mom. Her husband, she's a widow. And so we've decided as a family that we are going to have Robbie come clean our house once a month. And we're going to pay her for that every time. And so she's not just a project for us. We want her to be our friend. She's our neighbor. And so I think missional is about everybody has enough, and everybody has opportunity, and no one has to be afraid, and there's opportunity. And so for her, she needs opportunity, and we want to be her friends and help do that. And so that's a way right here on Clayton Street, which is my street, where we start living missional.
Yeah. I love how you say it. Missional is creating opportunities, right?
Yeah.
Possibilities. And that just creates a whole different world. We are not looking for the outcome or the project, but actually for an opportunity and a possibility.
Yeah. I really think it's important as we get out and do missional that that missional is not about just treating people as projects. I think we've done that, and often when we do it, it hurts more than it helps. And so for me, it's about a relationship. And here's what I believe about missional. So I believe with Robbie, this lady that comes cleans our house, that she's going to give us as much as we give her.
Yeah.
It's going to come in different forms. We have some financial resources that we can share with her, but she's got some other resources, and she's already done that. She's already contributed to our life. And it's that mutuality that I think is powerful when we really engage in missional, and that's what we're trying to learn how to do.
That's great. I love these stories, right? I love the fact that missional becomes a helping your neighbor. And you wrote something that it was especially inspiring for me, you know. Mm-hmm. I call it the vision of your mission, right? I don't know if that is the best way. But,
right.
But it's a short, maybe one-page document that mm-hmm. states the way that you see your own purpose, your own mission in the community where you live. So right. Will you tell us more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. In Faith Walking 101, as you well know, we talk about integrity. And we talk about doing what you say you'll do as part of that. But we also talk about this idea of giving our word to really big things. And I know that's challenging for a lot of folks to say, how do I give my word to something that seems impossible? And I think the way that works is we give our word to something we want to accomplish that's overwhelming and beyond our capacity. But what we're doing in giving our word is we're saying, and I'm going to wake up daily and think about what does it look like to live into my promise, one little step at a time. And so Becky and I moved to Tomball about 11 years ago. We believe God led us here. We believe this is our place. Tomball has its own city government. It's got a police force, and it's got a mayor and city council people. The actual population is only 10,000 in Tomball, but the greater Tomball area within about a 10-mile radius, there's 500,000 people. So it's a lot of people. But we really like the idea that there's a community here. And so what we discovered early on when we got to Tomball was that Tomball had a reputation in the past of being a racist community. And for me, that's brokenness. That's not life according to God's design. That's not God's heart. God's heart, I believe, is for equality and mutuality and everybody having opportunity and everybody living safe and free. And so recently, I've gotten really clear, and by the way, it's taken a while to get here. Didn't happen overnight for me. It happened over a number of years. But I've recently given my word to racial wholeness in Tomball. And that really seems big, and it really seems overwhelming. And how in the world am I going to do that, you know? And yet that's what I want to give my word to. Because I want to live in a community where there's wholeness yeah. racially, yeah. And so then Marcus, what I had to do was, and this is just the way my mind thinks, I had to think about, well, what does that look like?
Yeah.
So what does racial wholeness look like? And I've expressed some of the words that I believe it means, things like equality, yeah. Things like mutuality. I think we're mutually important, we're mutually responsible, we're mutually free, and so I want to help create a community where that happens, and for me it writing the document was about, okay, and what do I need to do today to begin to work me toward that. And so I have some statements in there about the big vision of what I believe wholeness looks like. And then I also have some things in there about, and this is what where I'm going to start.
Yeah.
And one of those places is I have to have relationships with people that are of different ethnicity than me.
Yeah.
And so I am on the lookout, and I have some, but I'm looking for more. I want to increasingly get to know people who are different than me in my community. And and by the way, I believe building relationships with people that are different is a missional activity. Because I believe that's the heart of God. I believe God says, I want you as my people to go welcome other of my people. I believe that restoring wholeness is about unity also. Yeah. It's about unifying. And so we're working on that. It also means that I want to be involved with the city government in Tomball. Yeah. So I want to know, and I want them to know me, the people that are the decision makers. And so I know our mayor, and I know our city manager, and I know our assistant city manager, and I could email any of those three and say, could I have lunch next week? And they'd all say, yeah. I know the Chamber of Commerce president. I served on a committee with our in our community. And so one of the goals is, because I've gotten really busy, as you know, doing faith walking stuff. I don't have time for all that. And yet I have to be intentional. Yeah. And be intentional about, okay, I need to stay in relationship with these people if I'm going to have any influence in my community. People, they have to know who I am, and I have to know them. And so those two things, meeting people who are different than me, and then staying connected to the key officials in our city in some capacity, are the two things I'm doing right now. Yeah. And again, that those may not sound like missional activities because I'm not doing much. And yet that's the start for me of getting to the place that we can have racial wholeness at Tomball, Texas.
Yeah, you know, I am very present, and I love the tension between this big picture, right? This big picture that is all the possibility of wholeness, right? Mm-hmm. And then the incarnation, right? As you say, the incarnation of that big picture in my day-to-day life. And,
right.
You know, it seems that is a rhythm, right? So
right.
I have to remember who I am or what I am, what I am for.
Right.
And then I have to do it, right? So
right.
it is just, breathing in and breathing out.
Yeah. I think also, Marcus, you know, in leadership language, we would say there's the vision, which is the big thing that we're going to be working on probably for the rest of our lives. And then there's the action plans.
Yeah.
And we have to have action plans. So we have to step back from that big vision and say, what do I do today?
Yeah.
And we start small, and we start with what we can do. So what I know is, what I believe is, it's impossible for racial wholeness to come to Tomball just by Ken Schumann making a declaration. But if Ken Schumann finds other people who want the same thing in Tomball, and I begin to build relationships, and we begin to build momentum, and we know each other's heart, so that we can have the hard conversations. I think that's crucial also. When we know one another, we listen to one another.
Yes. And there is something about big visions that is so inspiring, but it's scary.
Absolutely.
Because, oh my gosh.
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah, and there's where all the first work, right? The work of my anxiety, this is what's going on with
Correct.
Me. It's so helpful because sometimes, because it's so inspiring, but it's so scary, I don't want to have a big vision.
Mm-hmm.
So one last question, Ken. I think that the exercise just of thinking this big picture, right, that takes you to the small things of your day-to-day life is an awesome practice. I mean, we can call it a spiritual practice, right, into the mission.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who wants to start with this work? I mean, who wants to write or attempt to put some ideas of what is the mission for the vision for my mission of that document?
That's a great, great question, Marcus. I think, first of all, I would say get enough information as background. I think sometimes we run off and do things, start things. And so I've done a lot of study and reading. And I would say make sure you've gone to Faith Walking 301.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that Faith Walking 301 talks about some of these things we're talking about. So I think that's a beginning place. I think the second thing that I would encourage folks to do is then just think about where is the brokenness? One of the things, as you know, I do in Faith Walking 301 is I invite people to pray a prayer asking God to show them the Lazarus-like person from the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the scripture in their life already. Because what I believe is God has brought people into our life and they're already there. We just don't see them. And so this woman across the street, who's cleaning our house, and Robbie, who we're in relationship with, and it's growing and emerging, is because God opened my eyes and said, hey, here's this lady right here. And so I think I would start there and begin there. I think the other thing that I did here in Tomball is I just tried some things on, and some things didn't fit. You know, we've done some things. We started a mentoring process for the students in the elementary schools here, and it's going really, really well. And that may be part of our restored wholeness racially, but that wasn't my stopping place. So try some things on and find where, because I believe God's created each of us unique and with our own unique gifting and passions, and there's going to be what I call a sweet spot that we find. Yeah. And so do that. So two things so far. One, make sure you have the good information and background. Faith Walking 301 helps you with that, and there's lots of other resources. Then get really clear about who the Lazarus-like people are around you. And then I would say, if you feel moving toward God moving you towards something, is then ask the question, what does this look like practically? Where can I begin? And I think almost every time it's about starting with relationships. Yeah. And so it's an easy place, though for many people it's not an easy place. Yeah. I realize for introverts that's a really scary place. Yeah. But it's about building relationships and being intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do? And if you can come up with one or two things, I think we get overwhelmed when we say there's so many needs out there. And so praying the Lazarus prayer is about, okay, who's my one? Yeah. Where's my beginning place? And then we get overwhelmed by there's so many things, so many needs. Well, start with two.
Yeah.
Or with one, and say, these are the two things I'm going to do. So for me, it's about building the relationships in those two places. Yeah. That's where I'm starting. Yeah.
That's great. That's very helpful. Very helpful. As you were talking, what came to my mind too is the power of relationships, not only with those people. Those people might not only be the Lazarus, might be also your partners on this journey.
Exactly. Right?
You want to go far, go together, right?
Correct.
You want to go fast,
that's
go
exactly
along.
It. Right. That's it.
And the second thing that hit me also is if I know of the few, of the many people that I might know, you are one of the people that is able to articulate with the most clarity and passion his own ideas about wholeness and shalom, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's something of the positive. So is the need, yes, where is the need? Where is the Lazarus? But also, where is this heart kind of beating, you know, and saying, I'm passionate for wholeness. This is something that is God has been cooking in our hearts that has that positive side. And I think it's part of who we are. So it's great. Ken, thank you. Thank you very much for this time. And we encourage you not only to do 301, that is a great beginning into this journey. It's just a very useful step. But if you have your vision, the vision for your mission, send it to us. We would love to read. We would love to have conversation around it. So thank you very much. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.